The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Breaking news overnight, a developing story, and we're just monitoring all the worldwide media and domestic media on this. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet said it is rendering assistance, this is from the BBC, after receiving separate distress calls from two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Regional media reported explosions and fires on both vessels. Reportedly, the Front Altair and the Kokuka Courageous, crews from both of the vessels, have been safely evacuated, Reuters reports. The incident comes a month after four tankers were attacked off the United Arab Emirates, which it blamed on an unnamed state actor. At that time, U.S. said Iran was behind the attacks, which involved naval mines, an accusation that Iran has denied. We had mentioned earlier that Reuters reported that it was a torpedo that hit one of the ships. Josh Frey of the Fifth Fleet, U.S. Fifth Fleet, said in a statement, U.S. naval forces in the region received two separate distress calls at 6:12 local time and a second at 7 a.m. U.S. Navy ships are in the area and are rendering assistance. That is from the BBC. NBC News reporting the same thing, and that the United States is aware of the reported attack. The United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations, which is run by the British Navy, also put out an alert about an unspecified incident in the Gulf of Oman, adding that it was investigating. That stretch of water separates Oman and the United Arab Emirates with Iran. The coordinates offered for the incident by the UK group put it about 25 miles off the Iranian coastline. That's what we have at the moment, as we're there's so many different news sources and a little bit of a variation in a lot of the different stories out there.
Rory Jones at the Wall Street Journal basically had the same thing. There's really all the facts right now seem to line up from every source right now. We haven't heard of any third incident. It's right now just those two tankers. And as you mentioned, the Fifth Fleet rendering aid to those two, which would mean that they believe that maybe the threat right now is contained, except for the fire. Both crews, the crews of both tankers, were safely evacuated. No one was injured.
Yeah, we know that one is on fire and adrift. I don't know about the other one. I don't know if they kept a skeleton crew on that or not. We just don't know.
Well, all the reports are saying that the crews have evacuated and we're safe, but that's the only thing we can go by right now. But we'll follow the story with any other breaking news. Again, the tensions have been high for a few weeks after the other ones. The story of the torpedo hitting the second tanker is obviously frightening, because this is different than the mines that essentially were responsible for the attacks just a few weeks ago. It would mean that obviously it was timed and deliberately sent. The nature of the torpedo would basically indicate an escalation in the tactic used by whoever's responsible, and most think that Iran is responsible.
The interesting thing is the Iranian media claimed, without offering any evidence, that two oil tankers had been targeted in the area.
Right.
Before the story hit.
Right. Yeah, they were the first on it, which tells you something. The Wall Street Journal said, and here's the line, and the last few words got me here. I thought I was scratching my head on this one. Iranian media, citing unspecified foreign sources, reported two large tankers had been attacked in the Gulf of Oman and requested help. So the point being is that how did they know that? How did they know that they were, I guess they had picked up, the Iranian government would have picked up those distress calls. And again, where is any evidence that the Iranian, there is any Iranian support or anything else? They denied the attacks a few weeks ago. The U.S. is saying they were responsible for those mines. But I wonder here too if this was is about raising the tensions, but also because you see the price of Brent crude jumping.
3.4% already has jumped.
Right. Keep in mind the global prices have been declining for a number of reasons, and I'm just wondering if this is some kind of odd play, show of power against the U.S. Sabotage, obviously. And then beyond that, the idea of sending global prices upward.
Well, I mean, it's obviously, if it is a state actor, as the United Arab Emirates has said, and the U.S. believes and has stated that the attacks were from Iran, that's one of the reasons that the president sent more military assets,
right,
carrier group over in that direction. Then obviously, if it is state actor, in all likelihood it probably is Iran, and if they're doing it, they're doing it to test to see what the president's response will be. Remember, they can manipulate the price of oil by attacking the tankers, because 20%, this is the thing people need to know, 20% of global oil consumption passes through that particular area.
Right.
So from Middle East producers. So that can have a huge effect if there is nervousness in the markets about how many ships will be attacked, because there were four last time, I believe there was?
Four
tankers that were attacked last time. And two tankers now. And if both of these, now the other ones, you know, were able to, you know, they didn't have to abandon them. But it looks like from what we can see here, both of these ships have been, here it is, both vessels have been evacuated and the crews were safe, for shipping and trade sources say. Dyrid Global, a maritime intelligence firm, preliminary identified one of the vessels involved as the MT Front Altair, a Marshall's Island flag crude oil tanker. That vessel was on fire and adrift. So, you know, that's where we were. The timing of Thursday's incidents was especially sensitive, as the Japanese prime minister was visiting Iran on a diplomacy mission on Wednesday after talks with the Iranian president. The Iranian president warned that any accidental conflict that could be sparked amid the heightening U.S.-Iranian tensions must be avoided.
So the frontline tanker was loaded with oil, the other one with methanol. In fact, the company that owns the one that had methanol on it, the hull has been breached above the waterline on the starboard side. I don't know. So my question would be, what kind of attack would that be? Something that would, you know, again, breach above the waterline. I'm not sure. You're talking about, is that a tornado, a torpedo? Is that something that is launched?
A missile.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
So, again, that's an official statement from the company that owns that vessel. That's different.
Well, the next question is, if the United States does find out it is Iran, how does the United States and our allies, because this would be a case where you would get, I mean, this is something where you can go and you can build a coalition, not to attack and destroy Iran, but in your coordinated and united response, if it is a military response back.
Right. Right. Yep.
Because that makes a lot of people nervous. Again, you are testing the world, but you're also testing the United States. You're testing the president. You're testing the United States, who sent over more naval assets, a carrier group, specifically to send that warning to Iran. So the question would be, what is the U.S. response at this point if the U.S. believes and our allies believe, and even, let's put it this way, doesn't necessarily have to be an ally of the United States.
Sure.
There's a lot of oil that goes through there that affects other countries, and it may not be allies where the United States could get support for whatever reaction they decide to have if it is Iran that has done this.
You have,
and the United States believes it is.
Right. So you have a half
that did the one a few weeks ago with the four tankers.
Sure. Right. Right. We have heard no statement pointing to Iran on this one. It just comes off of the other one. So you have a total of now what, six tankers in the last few weeks that have been attacked in this area that could well be this, you know, manipulation, show of power by Iran, if it is Iran responsible for the latest two, but also a message to send essentially the feeling of instability in there, and that the flow, that supply chain, the supply line is going to be disrupted and is risky in that area. That could see, we could see Brent crude prices jump for quite some time until there is more stability. Because you go back a few weeks, right? Well, the market settles after a few weeks, and here we are again. So, not sure. We don't know. It could be a number of things here.
With the Fifth Fleet already there.
Yeah.
You know, and they're offering assistance to these tankers.
Mm-hmm.
You know that once we have the AWACS up and once we have surveillance up,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of things that we can do once we have the United States Navy has assets in those areas.
Right.
That they might not have been able to have done when the four other tankers, were hit at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the United States may have the access to a lot more evidence that they can present to the world after this incident.
Right.
One would hope that they did, mm-hmm. because this has the ability to destabilize the world oil markets, especially over there. Now, the United States over here, as we've talked about our supply, I mean, we keep supplying more and more and more and more, and our oil supply lines here domestically, and the majority of what we get, because we keep getting less from foreign sources, probably going to affect us in a lesser way here, but still it will raise prices. It will raise oil prices here, though.
Yep.
But maybe not as much. But the it's a serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you see it here, you can say, okay, the one did matter, but if it is a torpedo, and then if it is a missile, because as you said, the reports is that it's above the waterline.
Right, on the methanol tanker.
On the methanol tanker, right. If it's a torpedo in one and a missile in another, it changes everything.
Yep.
It really does.
Because that means there was somebody close by, close enough to launch both, and they're waiting for that. And so, again, we'll see what happens, what develops from the investigation. But I'm sure we'll learn soon.
And we'll keep you updated. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Your pump for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of regular tire inspections. Proper inflation is essential to tire performance. Improper tire inflation can result in uneven tread wear due to how it displaces the footprint of the tire from the pavement. Having proper tread depth provides traction between your tires and the road beneath it. And too little tire tread can create unsafe driving conditions, especially during summer when sudden rain is common. Inspect your tires regularly to make sure their tread depths are within DOT standards. The DOT standard for remaining tread depth in a major tread groove is 4/32 of an inch for steer tires and 2/32 of an inch for trailer tires. Stop in to a TA truck service near you for all of your tire service needs today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. More information coming across as we just monitor all the news agencies from across the world. This from Al Jazeera, reporting that Reuters citing four shipping and trade sources, reported two tankers were evacuated following an unspecified incident in the Gulf of Oman. The sources identified the tankers, as we have said, as a Marshall Islands flagged ship and a Panama flagged ship. A statement from the Panama flagship, the Kokoku Courageous Management Company from Singapore, said 21 crew of the vessel abandoned ship after the incident on board, which resulted in damage to the ship's hull starboard side. The vessel is about 70 nautical miles from the United Arab Emirate and about 14 nautical miles from the coast of Iran. The Courageous remains in the area and is not in any danger of sinking. The cargo of methanol is intact, the statement said. Only one crew member was injured during the incident and is receiving medical treatment on another vessel nearby. Meanwhile, maritime intelligence firm Dryad Global said it was investigating reports that the front Altair, which is the other ship, was on fire and adrift. It did not offer a cause for the incident. The front Altair has been chartered by Taiwan's state oil refiner and was carrying 75,000 tons of naphtha, a petrochemical feedstock, when it was, quote, suspected of being hit by a torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
All the crew members have been rescued. So that's just additional to what we have had already, that the incident, and many believe, is an attack,
right,
on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman.
The owners of the tanker that contained the one crew member that was injured, they say that is a minor injury. So again, as you mentioned, that injury being treated, and now we're seeing more and more international media on this story. No real new developments, but I think it is notable that the owners of the one vessel said that it was breached above the waterline. That sounds right, like something other than a mine, which were responsible for the attacks a few weeks ago on the other four vessels, or a torpedo in terms of the other vessel this morning that was attacked, and according to those reports.
Was it a rocket? Was it a, as we have said, rocket-propelled grenade? It a rocket? Was it a missile? We don't know.
Right.
We just don't know.
So we'll get you details as they come in, but certainly more details are coming in by the minute. And crude prices, especially Brent crude, that's the type of oil that's used around the world, not in the U.S., but around the world. We'll probably see not just Brent crude, but West Texas oil prices elevated, at least until we know what's going on and until the market believes that this situation is stable. But given those incidents now, this is a half dozen attacks in the last few weeks. That's certainly going to spook the markets. We'll see what happens with those prices over the next day or two.
Just looking at CNBC from the last couple of minutes, roughly 3%.
Right.
It has, Brent crude has increased.
All right.
So, it spiked 3% right now, just a little less than 2%.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Don't know what that means, but yeah, if this continues, price of oil will go up.
Mm-hmm.
Their DPF is cleaned. Their DEF is in the SCR. Their ELDs are up to date. But their CDLs are expired. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. We will keep you updated as to the situation in the Gulf of Oman and those two tankers. If we get any information about whether there's been verification that they were attacked, we'll let you know. I mean, that seems to be the belief right now, and Reuters reporting that one of the tankers was hit by a torpedo, and the other damage to the other tanker is above the waterline. Whether that means a missile or something from Iran, we do not know here at this moment, but we're keeping you updated throughout the morning on that. Some other stories, though, got to make sure we get in some of the other stuff that's going on. This is one of my favorite stories. Organized labor in Los Angeles recently launched an ad campaign blasting Democrat Mayor Eric Garcetti over his proposed Green New Deal, claiming the environmental plan would cost union jobs, increase energy bills, and erode the middle class. Television and radio spots, supported by a seven-figure ad buy, began in Southern California airwaves earlier this month. A TV commercial broadcast during primetime viewing hours references an unfulfilled six-year Garcetti vow to eliminate homelessness in L.A. and also went on about the job situation in the Green New Deal. You know, you and I have asked this question here, and again, one of our criticisms of Republicans is, and even of this administration, you're horrible at messaging. Yeah, this is right. Something that I would hit on the Green New Deal and climate change. This is where you can get unions behind you. We stated this back in 2016, where we said, Republicans, come on, you're being handed a gift. Go after the unions. The unions will listen to you. Because we had said that Democrats do not want a manufacturing base. We go back to August of 2016. We're in 1 week period. Bernie Sanders, who was running, well, he was out at that particular point, I believe, by the time this came out. Mm. But he had promised to get rid of all trucking jobs.
Right.
Hillary, to one-up him, wanted to get rid of all coal jobs. And by the end of the week, President Obama wanted to get rid of oil jobs. And we sat there and went, how can they do this on a consistent basis. They continue to do this now. They talk about things like the Green New Deal. And what they're talking about is the destruction of manufacturing and unions in this country. Mm-hmm. As we have said, Republicans, you have a great opportunity to instruct to unions, if companies don't make profits, odds are unions don't exist.
Right.
And it's something that if you've got organized labor in Los Angeles, they figured it out, then Republicans, you ought to start marketing to them. The president ought to start marketing to them. With all due respect, forget about Bette Midler. Concentrate on where you can win. And you can win with a ton of substance.
Number of things that are already winning for the president, at least at this point, the economy, although there are signs that we may be slowing down, but there's a fix, at least a fix that the president can put into motion. We know what is within his power to nurture an economy back to where it needs to be, if indeed it is slowing down. Again, the GDP still at 3.2, the latest number, but you look at unemployment numbers and other indicators and analysts looking at a possible slowdown and what the Fed is looking at. And again, we know it doesn't mean that it's the fact right now, but you don't want to risk this.
Well, and the Wall Street Journal pointed out yesterday, and we had talked about Biden and his cancer promise. Wall Street Journal brings up, though, what Biden was doing in Iowa.
Right.
Right. Biden takes on Trump tariffs. Are tariffs popular? Donald Trump seems to think so. After nearly 18 months of imposing border taxes willy-nilly, Many Republicans seem to agree they may soon get a political test of that proposition as Joe Biden took direct aim at the cost of tariffs in Iowa on Tuesday. Quote, America's farmers have been crushed by his tariff war with China, Mr. Biden said in remarks Tuesday evening in Davenport. He thinks he's being tough. Well, it's easy to be tough when someone else is feeling the pain. How many farmers across this state and across the nation have had to face the prospect of losing their business, of losing their farm because of Trump tariffs? He added, and how about manufacturing? Trump's tariffs and trade wars are hitting a lot of American manufacturing, especially the American automobile industry, choking it to within an inch of its life, end of quote from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street Journal response. Talk about a historic turnabout. Right. We can recall 1988 when Democrat Dick Gephardt courted the union vote as he campaigned for the president in Iowa by running against trade with Japan. Now a Republican president is fighting a multi-front trade war, and Mr. Biden, a union Democrat from Central Casting, is attacking tariffs. The former vice president must think this is smart politics. For one thing, the tariff issue gives Mr. Biden a way to attack Trump on jobs despite the strong economy. Talking about the talking tough about alleged foreign cheaters is popular in the abstract, but when the costs become visible in higher prices and lost markets from foreign retaliation, public support may drop. Talking about the pain of tariffs lets Mr. Biden focus on specific damages rather than having to dispute the health of the national economy.
Hmm.
Mr. Biden was shrewd Tuesday to walk back his claim in May that China isn't competition for the United States. We are in competition with China, he said. They are a serious challenge to us and in some areas a real threat. But he added that while Trump is pursuing a damaging and erratic trade war, China is investing in technologies of the future. And then he took to the appealing line that the U.S. can outcompete anyone. The Democratic frontrunner is hardly pure on tariffs, having suggested only last week that they can be a tool to enforce carbon fuel limits on other countries.
Right.
But he also favors higher taxes, and his climate agenda is a big government fantasy. But he's trying to make the point that, and we've talked about, which is why we want these things to be resolved and wish for them to be resolved now, because if they do affect the economy, it is a strategy that can possibly be effective by targeting states where the president has won and targeting a coalition of Trump voters that have been loyal Trump voters. But by next year, if their businesses are gone or their businesses are hurting, the risk of Trump not winning could be reality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, I believe, that, you know, again, the political concern of many people, including us.
Well, yeah.
People say they love something. Hey, remember, we loved Obamacare, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, until I had to pay for it. We see how quickly people look. We saw how Republicans changed.
Yes.
Republicans were completely against Obamacare. Well, then when they found out the benefits, okay, well, don't repeal Obamacare. Just take away the payment of it and the taxes. Give us the free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We want the free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even Republicans, that's the way it works in the real world, whether you're willing to admit it or not.
Right.
The president will say, the farmers will sacrifice everything. No, they won't.
Nope. Nope. That's because you have to reestablish, again, that trust in the farmers, your voting base, your support base, an industry base, by the way. You know, you think of the farmers as individuals, and of course they are, but it's a huge, huge industry that's suffering right now. It means they have political power, and they do. They are collectively going to decide whether or not they're going to trust that you have put these tariffs to rest, and that you won't return to that kind of behavior in your second term, especially given the fact that you will not have to worry about another election in your life ever. You have to reestablish that trust. Because, and it's not just the industry, people that actually are farming. What you have to remember is that, like Texas and other states where there is oil exploration and production, there is an indirect relationship or relation and line to other supporting businesses. So the states, the regions are affected. When the farmers have no money to spend, that's a big deal. When the farming families have no money to spend, that's a big deal, because the equipment companies suffer as a result of it.
They make a great point, though.
Everything else. A
Democrat comes in and starts tariffing, putting tariffs on every product that comes in from every nation that isn't doing right on climate change.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's what Biden said.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. They actually still love tariffs. They're just going to protest Trump tariffs because they believe it can get them a victory.
Right.
But Democrats have always believed in tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
They've been the tariff party for the last, they've been the tariff party since I've been involved in politics.
Right.
So that goes back, 100 years?
Mm-hmm. So I was going to say 120, but we'll go with 100.
So as we sit there, for example, and we mock the bad messaging from Biden, understand that in any political race, there still is messaging that can be effective by a Democrat. And
right.
It is, and what is it? Is your self-interest being affected?
Right. Yeah.
It's hard for farmers to look and say, well, we really can't draw the line to the president on the fact that our business is down. That's easy to do because the president takes credit for it.
Yep.
And so that is the fear from many people who wish to see Trump reelected because they don't want the other option. So it's sort of like a warning that many people are saying, Mr. President, you've got to, you can't, for example, continue as we have the spectacle of willy-nilly tariffs. Okay, I want this, so we're going to tariff you on this and the threats, because then markets are concerned about it.
And if you'll do that now, a year before your reelection bid, you'll do it after you're reelected.
And the question is, you know, for example, on the Mexico deal, which we still don't know what was in it, people saying, see, the tariffs work. Well, did they?
We don't know.
If you get very little and destabilize the markets and lose the election next year, is it worth it?
Right.
And you really don't get a lot out of the deal. You get a little bit and you move them in the right direction. But is it the trade-off that you want? Do you want that little bit of a victory now there, or do you want another president who's going to be tough on illegal immigration for another 4 years? Do you want that guaranteed?
Right.
And that's the trade-off that you're talking about.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, latest, we have two oil tankers damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman. Breaking news overnight that we have been bringing to you, the latest developments on it. Brent crude prices, of course, skyrocketing in that part of the world. Two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack, according to multiple reports. The U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet told Reuters it was assisting two tankers in the Gulf of Oman after receiving two distress calls. We know that everybody has been evacuated, just one injury there. It was reported that one of the tankers is adrift and on fire. The other one apparently is not. The United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations, an arm of the British Navy, had put out an alert earlier and urged extreme caution amid U.S. Iran tensions. We are told that One report from Reuters is that one ship was attacked by a torpedo, and the other one had a hole above the waterline in it, which might mean a rocket or a missile or whatever. The incident comes as the Iranian media claimed earlier, without offering any evidence, that two oil tankers had been targeted in the area. Now, about 20% of the global oil consumption passes through that area from Middle Eastern producers. Benchmark crude, in apparent reaction to the incident, rose its prices by 3.4% on Thursday.
The coordinates that were offered by one source put these attacks about 25 miles off the Iranian coastline.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. We do appreciate it. In the news, breaking news overnight that we've been following, a developing story, two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack off the Gulf of Oman early Thursday, according to multiple reports. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet told Reuters it was assisting two tankers after receiving two distressed calls. We are aware of the reported attack on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. U.S. naval forces in the region received two separate distress calls at 6:12 a.m. local time and a second one at 7 a.m., said Joshua Frey of the Fifth Fleet. The fleet did not blame anyone for the attack. The United Kingdom, this from Fox News, the United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations, an arm of the British Navy, had put out an alert earlier and urged extreme caution amid U.S.-Iranian tensions. The incident comes also as Iranian media claimed, without offering any evidence, that two oil tankers had been targeted in the area.
All right, so Japan's trade ministry says the two oil tankers reportedly attacked in the Strait of Hormuz carried Japan-related cargo. We do know that. Thursday's comment, though, came as the Japanese Prime Minister, Abe, was wrapping up a two-day trip to Iran with a mission to ease tensions between Tehran and Washington. I think that's interesting. Meanwhile, Iranian state television reported that 44 sailors from the two tankers have been transferred to an Iranian port. So this happened about, the coordinates that were given were about 25 miles off of
Well, who picked them up? I thought United States military picked them up.
Well, we were told that the Fifth Fleet
were assisting them.
Were assisting,
right.
But we don't know if they were assisting with those sailors. We were told also that the one sailor that had minor injuries was being treated. Are they just saying that, again, they went back to the port and it has nothing to do with the nation of Iran? That was the closest port, because it was about, the coordinates that were given is about 25 miles off the coast of Iran. So maybe that was the closest port, and
I doubt a U.S. ship is going to drop off them off.
No, I don't think the U.S. ship did.
Right.
No. But if they're assisting with like the fires, it could be that another craft took them, again, 44 of them to that port. So we'll see if that's accurate. Again, that coming from ABC News and one other source, that Iranian state television was reporting that those 44 sailors from the two tankers have been transferred to an Iranian port.
The area is near the Strait of Hormuz, a strategic route through which 20% of global oil consumption passes from Middle East producers. Benchmark crude, in apparent reaction to the incident, rose its prices by 3.4% overnight. American oil prices up over 4%.
Right.
Dyrid Global, a maritime intelligence firm, identified one of the vessels involved as the MT Front Altair, a Marshall's flagged crude oil tanker. That vessel was on fire and adrift. International Tanker Management, which operates the ship, said an explosion had caused a fire on board. The Associated Press, the incident is still being investigated. They told the Associated Press and it was unclear what caused the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
The other vessel, a Panama-flagged Kokuka Courageous, sustained damage on its hull starboard side. The BSN said BSM ship management, 21 sailors were evacuated, and one was slightly injured. For shipping trade sources have said. So that's basically the information that we have now.
That one crew member was being treated aboard the Coastal Ace. So, again, it appears that the Fifth Fleet would be assisting at probably doing a little investigating, but assisting with the fires that are on board, if they still are. But then the crews were taken, again, Iranian state television, according to a couple of different sources reporting that those sailors being taken to a port there in Iran. Also of note, the damage one of those vessels by the owner. The owner says the damage was above the waterline. The breach was above the waterline. So that indicates something other than a torpedo or a mine.
Right. Because Reuters had reported a torpedo hit one of them.
Right.
CNN reporting that the Iranian state media saying that they were rescued by Iran's Navy and taken to the Iranian island, according to Iran state-run news.
Mm-hmm.
The report claimed the ships were, quote, targeted, but it did not detail by whom or what.
Okay.
This is really going to be interesting to see what happens.
Right.
Because as we all know, this is a flashpoint right now. The United States sent a carrier group there just a few weeks ago because of the situation in Iran right now. And we know the four tankers that hit mines that in essence were attacked also a few weeks ago. And now this makes it six.
Right.
So it will be really interesting to see the response from the White House. And what we know, having the Fifth Fleet in that area means we probably monitor that area and monitor every tanker that's going through with electronic intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
What we will be able to learn from that probably won't take too long.
There's even data that's related to the loading of these ships. In fact, Bloomberg and other financial publications, they get these reports, the data, where the products loaded onto at any given port, onto what ship. It kind of tells you, it's like real-time monitoring of the supply chain.
Right.
And that's done because of the nature of oil and how it's traded. And so there was data that told us what was on board. And that comes from, of course, private sector data. So there's a number of things that can be monitored, as you mentioned, likely by the Fifth Fleet, no doubt. And then, of course, the private sector, the financial world, monitoring the supply chain itself. And they do that load per load. So that's how they knew what was on board. We'll stay on this story as it developed. It was hours ago that we were on it, and only a few sources at that point were on it, but it seems now everybody is reporting the same thing. And
And when you go back,
I think it's interesting that the again Abe being in Iran trying to ease the tensions between Tehran and Washington, and these are Japan related. Well, the ships aren't owned by Japan, but it was Japan related cargo,
right?
Is of note. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
Four explosions on May 12th blew holes in the hulls of two tankers from Saudi Arabia, one from Norway and one from the UAE. It's a major transport point for oil vessels moving through the Strait of Hormuz. So, this could end up being a huge international incident because the United States was already preparing for something like this. Intelligence had indicated that, you know, something was going on, United States intelligence. So that's why it happened. Remember when it happened, we all went, this is interesting. So how will the White House response, how will they respond to this?
Not just a message here, if it is Iran, if they believe it is Iran, and I think we'll probably see a statement from the United States sometime very soon on this, likely today, but if they believe Iran is responsible, then it's not just a message to the United States, it's a message to Prime Minister Abe.
Oil, Japan. This from Bloomberg, oil rebounded from its from the lowest in almost 5 months as two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack. Brent crude soared as much as 4.5% in London following the incident. A critical passage in the Strait of Hormuz, a critical passage for shipments from the Middle East. So, last I checked, oil was up. Was it Wall Street Journal? I forgot who it was, or CNN reporting that was up at 1.4% here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we'll keep you updated on this because tensions are rising. I can guarantee it, and will be rising because of this attack, because now that's six tankers that have been attacked.
Right.
And the United States believed, not saying this one, but the four other tankers, they believe the United States and Bolton has said publicly they believe it was Iran who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they trace this back to Iran again, it will be interesting to see how the United States, what the United States does with our allies and just the world in general. To condemn Iran and to build a coalition against what's going on, and whether there might be limited strikes or not is always a possibility.
Right.
But we shall see. 866-90 Red Eye.
Farmers are not only promoting our prosperity, you are protecting our security as a nation.
President Trump at an ethanol plant in Iowa Tuesday talking about year-round sales of E15, also trade deals, disaster help for farmers, and other subjects. Also, the president signed
an executive order to speed up reviews of biotechnology so that farmers can get access to critical scientific advances faster and reap the full benefits for many years into the future.
In conjunction with that order, the USDA last week issued proposed new regulations for how new biotech crops would be evaluated for safety and approved for use. Regulations which Undersecretary of Agriculture Greg Ibaugh said in conjunction with the executive order would strike a balance between
efficiency as well as an appropriate regulatory oversight mechanism.
He said under current rules, it can take 5 to 7 years for a new biotech crop to be approved. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. An update, really not an update, but it still is an update, but not an update. Joe Biden did not clarify his comments.
Right.
So as far as we know, the...
He's still going to cure cancer.
He's still going to cure cancer.
All right.
Social media was great yesterday.
Right.
On The View, Joy Behar said that, well, global warming would probably stop him from curing cancer to begin with.
Okay.
Because global warming causes so much cancer, so that global warming would stop it. I'm really glad for that scientific medical analysis from Joy Behar.
Dr. Behar is well known for her research in cancer and global warming, so we certainly respect her opinion.
And yes, I did see on social media that point. Well, at least he cares about it. You don't seem to care about cancer.
No, that's and you said yesterday that's where it's going. Boo! No cure for cancer. See, Republicans don't care.
Right.
They just want you to die. They don't care about anybody with cancer.
I don't think anybody officially politically made that, but I did see people making that point on social
media in
the comments.
Yes, working their way to that. Yes.
Right, working their way that, well, at least Joe Biden cares about it. At least he's trying to do something, and he cares about it. Yeah.
Well, I can see Chuck Todd this Sunday morning with a question, you know, asking, I don't know if Biden's going to be on, but if Biden were on this Sunday morning, Mr. Biden, Mr. Vice President, why do you think Republicans hate the idea of curing cancer so much?
Is Trump pro-cancer?
Yes. Clearly, Trump is pro-Russia, pro-cancer. What are your thoughts on that? just lobbing softballs. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it is. It's ridiculous. Social media, you know, eventually will be and may be part of the existing ongoing purge of the craziness because it goes to such extremes. It and then it repeats and then there is an answer from the critical thinking side, which is beautiful. The debates fall apart because the left usually has no point, no evidence, nothing to back their positions. And I think, I really believe when we get beyond this, we'll look back going, man, remember when Twitter was just going a million miles
a
second?
You know, the thing, the beautiful part of it, the people that ask the critical thinking questions in the bizarre way, which, well, wait a minute. It's still a year and a half away from his presidency.
Right.
Why doesn't he tell us how we can cure cancer now?
Yes. We want to cure cancer now. Come on.
Why is he waiting? I mean, I'm sure if he has the idea to cure cancer and it's money and he can tell us that a vaccine exists where we can do this today.
Right.
Well, then let's raise some money now because they can do it today. Why doesn't he care? And then that got a load of different, you know, great responses that were saying, so he's only going to cure it if he becomes president?
Exactly.
He refuses to tell us how to cure it? It got to be just bizarre. And then people were angry. I mean, the left, the supporters of Biden, well, at least he cares about curing it. You're just being sarcastic about it. Exactly where we thought it was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys don't care about cancer. You guys don't want to. Boo! No cure for cancer! Just so stupid.
I only want to cure cancer if I get it, not if anybody else gets it.
Right.
I mean, it got to be total bizarre world yesterday. But as you said, though, since Biden's only working part-time, since he's only campaigning part-time, he might not respond for another week.
Well, no, I think I'm right on that because I called his campaign office, headquarters office yesterday, and it was, thank you for calling. We are not open today. We will return to the office at noon on Monday. We'll be here Monday at noon through Tuesday at noon. It's a part-time campaign effort because he needs his rest. Well, he's taking a lot of naps.
By the way, that's a criticism that came from the left.
Yeah.
Just so people know. Where did you guys, that criticism has come from the left. It was, I can't think of who did it. It was one of the Obama aides. That did it the other day. We did the story, but one of the Obama aides said it the other day.
Yep. Here's your forecast.
Another day of scorching temperatures in the west. High heat attributed to a ridge in the upper level jet steering winds, which allows for that heat coming in from the south, from Mexico, all the way up towards Portland today, where we'll hit 85. Tomorrow, though, 77, so the cool down's coming. For Las Vegas, 105, 101 for tomorrow, just a slight drop. Phoenix, today's high 111, Friday 104. Showers today most pronounced for Missouri, Illinois, and portions of southeastern Iowa extending up into the Great Lakes. Portions of the Ohio Valley and the Carolinas will see showers today. And as we go through the day, that system will become a little more organized as it moves to the north and east. We'll pick up showers later today through the mid-Atlantic and then on to Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston. For the weekend, East Coast beaches are looking beautiful. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
They're guilty. Exoneration is not an option. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. Just looking at a update here. The headline, torpedo attack suspected. Fox News headline now. And this is, in case you're just tuning in right now, the breaking news, a developing story overnight. The two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack off the Gulf of Oman early Thursday, according to multiple reports. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet told Reuters it was assisting the two tankers in the Gulf of Oman after receiving two distress calls. Now, we know that Reuters had talked about this earlier, had reported earlier that they said it was a torpedo attack for one of the ships, but the other ship, that the hole in the ship was above the waterline.
Yeah, this also coming across here a few minutes ago that Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, says that that Tehran will, quote, will in no way repeat, end quote, negotiations with the U.S. amid tensions over its unraveling nuclear deal with world powers. The supreme leader made the comment on Thursday, today, during a meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Abe, who was traveling, traveled to Iran to sit down with Iran about the tensions between the U.S. and Iran. So,
sorry for the silence. I was just scanning different news stories to see if there was any update because
right. ABC. From ABC, they point out something. They say, but the comments by the Supreme Leader could indicate that Abe's visit may not have succeeded. It was it was Japan related cargo. That's not a coincidence.
Yes.
I mean,
they weren't flagged to Japan, but
right.
the Japanese announced
yes.
that what was on
it was Japan related cargo, right?
Cargo, yes.
So that's a clear message. You're sending that while Abe is sitting down. If you try and say that's coincidence, you'd have to work really hard to convince me. For me to believe that.
NBC, others report 15 miles, coordinates given by the United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations, which is run by the British Navy, as well as the ship tracking website Marine Traffic, said the vessels were both within 30 miles. Okay, that could be 15 miles of the Iranian coast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, last month, four oil tankers from Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Norway were damaged in the same area. All three countries said it was the work of a state actor. The United States, I mean, John Bolton stating that those four ships were attacked by Iran.
Yeah.
Last week, top commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East said that the threat is imminent of an attack by Iran or its proxies.
Uh-huh.
The Trump administration have previously announced additional troops, an aircraft carrier strike group, Air Force bombers, and Patriot missiles being sent to the Middle East. So the response from the United States and the world community in general, because this affects the world.
Mm-hmm.
These are oil trade lanes,
right,
that we're talking about. We're talking about right in that area, 20% of the world's oil passes through there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the United States had an immediate, reaction when they sent the aircraft carrier strike group. This is where you need to, and I'm assuming the United States would be doing this, you get together with your allies and even countries that aren't your allies. Because the last thing I'm sure that many in the Middle East want is Iran destabilizing oil production in the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what we'll hear officially from Israel. There's been, there's a wealth of information when it comes to intelligence as to what Iran is doing, what they're moving through that region in terms of weapons, who they're supporting. It really is no secret because of their due diligence. And I wonder if they have anything to offer in terms of intelligence on this matter itself. We'll wait for that, and we'll see what the United States has to say about that. Probably in the coming hours, I'm guessing in the next few hours, we'll see some kind of statement, if not sooner.
Couple other stories we want to make sure we get in before we get out of here today. Most Americans support charging a sitting president.
Mm-hmm.
New poll out there. Eric and I addressed this earlier, and really all we have to say is, well, yeah, the majority of Americans have no idea why the Constitution exists, so of course they would have that point of view. And as Eric said, no, most Americans support charging this president.
That's right. Your opinion doesn't change the Constitution.
I thought this was an interesting article from Mother Jones.
All right.
Mother Jones, a liberal publication,
mm-hmm,
for decades.
Right.
A liberal publication.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of people want the DNC to have a climate debate. We will not be silenced.
I don't know who's silencing anybody.
I sounded like the president on Independence Day. Yeah. We will not be silenced. We will not go away.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that is trying to silence him.
The pressure to have a debate on climate change is only escalating since a Democratic National Committee rejected a call to devote one of its dozen debates to a subject that's grown in urgency among the Democratic base.
Mm-hmm.
Frontrunner Joe Biden has seemingly thrown his support behind a climate change debate, saying, "I'm all in." In a video exchange captured by Greenpeace in Iowa.
He's all in 20 hours a week. He's not full time. So
that's right.
Yeah.
We will not be silenced from demanding a debate devoted to climate change, the petition reads. The DNC says it has voters' best interests in mind with this decision not to hold a climate debate. But as a voter, I'm telling you, climate change is the single most important issue I want candidates to address rigorously with this debate. And that comes from the petition, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
That was put together by the Sierra Club. That's what you signed on to.
Mm-hmm.
But the DNC is not backing down from a position it first outlined to Mother Jones in April, saying that climate will get its due attention in the debates.
Hmm.
But the DNC won't let candidates participate in an outside formal debate. If they do, they'll risk being disqualified from official debates. To amend these rules now, after having enforced them throughout the primary process, we'll be putting our thumb on the scale, said DNC Chair Tom Perez, wrote on Tuesday. I don't know what that has to do with having an official one on climate change, though. He seemed to, wow. Now Democrats are changing the topic, are changing the subject with Democrats.
Well, we knew that was coming.
Perez said this weekend he worries every debate would otherwise become a single-issue debate in order to address the concerns, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Well, yeah, climate change, race, climate change, race. No, I'm sorry. Climate change, race, impeach Trump, climate change, race, impeach Trump.
Yeah.
Climate change, race, repeat, impeach Trump.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
What's the other issue? What are the other issues that they have focused on for the last 10 years, for the last decade?
Right. Well, abortion this time around, I guess. Right.
Nah, they're all in agreement on it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know where they go. Throw it in, because debate is to promote what you believe, since they're all in unison for that.
Well, but yes, exactly. And they'll clearly have, you know, they'll be putting up a front at the convention coming up in
about
13 months.
Wait a minute. How can you have a debate when they all agree on everything?
Right. You know, the first thing that I thought was, okay, who are you debating?
Exactly.
And tell me how that debate is going to go. We will not be silenced. Well, the whole idea of a debate is that for part of it, you shut up and listen.
Well,
the other side talks.
Well, you could have a debate on socialism, but you'd only have Hickenlooper disagreeing. Everybody else would be,
right.
Democrat socialism, because that's by the way, that may be the word of this year. Mm-hmm. Democratic socialism.
Yeah, right.
Where the majority tells the minority what they will do.
That's right.
That's what we believe. We believe in democratic socialism, the tyranny of the majority oppressing the minority.
Uh-huh. No.
That's the fairness that we agree with as Democrat socialists.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, is it Democratic socialist?
Democratic socialist, yes.
Democratic socialism.
It works actually both ways.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Yeah.
It's not what they're saying, but yeah, for us, either one works.
So keep this infighting going. I like this.
Yeah. No, we're good with it. Have the debates.
Well, that's a point we have to. Somebody has to make that point. Is it a debate when everyone on stage agrees with each other totally?
No.
Yeah.
Well, where's the debate? They can't have a debate on abortion. All right, let's have a debate on abortion. Late term, yeah. Okay. What's the next thing then? If you're an abortion, do we start talking about infanticide? Okay, how many of you are leaning now towards infanticide? Probably can't have that on. Probably can't win with that on a national TV network.
Gary, some updates to the breaking news from Sky News. Just a few minutes ago, the Iranian news agency IRNA reports the Front Altair oil tanker has sunk after being damaged in an incident in the Gulf of Oman. Reuters reports that a frontline spokesman has denied a report by the Iranian news agency that the Front Altair oil tanker had sunk after being damaged. So we'll see. See where that goes from there. I mean, I wonder about the 44 sailors. Iranian state television saying that the 44 sailors were at a port in Iran. That may be true, but again, who's in control of them and what condition are they in and where do they go from there? So we don't have any updates, and this is a very fluid situation right now, but two oil tankers just miles off the coast of Iran were attacked just hours ago.
And oil prices up worldwide because of this, and this has become an international crisis.
Yep. Because you have a total of six tankers now attacked in the last few weeks. And that spells out, of course, that establishes a pattern of behavior. And that clearly is a message in a number of directions.
Well, this is,
and I think one of those messages is to the market.
Well, this is one of the. I look at this as the biggest international incident that the president so far has had to deal with in his presidency.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
So, and clearly, Iran is. If this is Iran who they believe did this, and I'm sure probably many in the United States government, including John Bolton, who said Iran was responsible for it last week. I believe that they will come to a determination today or in the very near future, mm-hmm. who is responsible for
right.
this.
Yes.
And it will be very interesting, because this is the biggest crisis the president has faced yet internationally, I believe, how they respond. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PACLINK. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PACLINK and has more details.
PACLINK is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner operators or fleet drivers, use this while they're on the road, so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on, and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions, or in the case of an owner operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACLINK, PACLINK. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIBA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIBA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. By the way, the owner of the Kokoku Courageous, one of the ships involved in that incident in the Gulf of Oman, their owner says they were hit by two shots.
Okay.
Some kind of shell, but two shots hit them is what they're saying.
Wow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.